It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Governor Scott Walker is officially moving forward with plans to lower Affordable Care Act premiums in Wisconsin. Our guest walks us through the governor's $200 million program. We'll see who it benefits and how the move could play into the upcoming elections. What do you think of the governor's program to lower individual coverage premiums? Are you among those who will benefit from it? Will it make a big difference in the amount you pay every month? Do you think the plan is a political move more than anything else? Or do you think Walker is putting politics aside for the good of those struggling to pay premiums? How do you think this will help or hurt the governor in the upcoming election? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Donna Friedsam is a researcher and health policy director at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Population Health Institute. Her areas of expertise include state health policy and state health reform and the implementation of federal health care reform. Donna, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
On Sunday, President Trump's administration approved Governor Walker's health care stability plan. What's this plan supposed to do?
So what it's called a reinsurance program, and what it does is it provides funding to health insurance companies to handle what are unexpected high cost cases, so that they don't have to build those costs into their health insurance premiums for everybody. And the theory, or the actual fact, is that if they don't have to build the unexpected high-cost cases into their insurance premiums, then they can charge lower premiums for everybody. And that's what the concept is of reinsurance. It's essentially insuring the insurance company.
So this is kind of like a subsidy for insurance companies to encourage them to offer a lower price coverage?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Which insurance health plans does this apply to in Wisconsin?
So it'll be available for the insurance companies that are offering health insurance for the individual market. So people that are purchasing insurance not through their employers, but through individually, who don't get group health insurance. So people who are getting it through the Affordable Care Act, and then it should have some effect also for people who are getting it off the marketplace as well. So it might have some residual effects off marketplace, but it should primarily affect the premiums on the Affordable Care Act marketplace.
Wisconsin uses the federally run health insurance exchange. The governor and the legislature decided not to set one up for the state. So people use healthcare.gov to enroll in plans. How many people in the state will get their health coverage that way?
Get their health coverage through the Affordable Care Act marketplace?
Yes.
Currently, there's about 200,000 people who are purchasing their coverage through the ACA marketplace. And this has been pretty consistent over the last several years. We did see a small decline last year, but overall it's been fairly consistent. That it works out to be about 6-7% of the overall population of the state.
So will insurance premiums go down for all of those people?
Well, I can't give you a simple answer to that. The insurance premiums on the marketplace and in the individual market should go down because of the reinsurance. But what people actually pay for their insurance in the Affordable Care Act marketplace is not based on the list price for the insurance. Only a margin of the people who purchase insurance in the marketplace actually pay the list price. Most over 80% of the people who purchase individual insurance in the ACA are eligible for federal subsidies for their premiums. And those federal subsidies significantly reduce their insurance premiums right off the bat. The people that this reinsurance program is intended to help are the people who are not eligible for the federal subsidies. So people who have incomes above 400% of the federal poverty level, those are going to be the primary beneficiaries of this program, although it will also have some effect on the premiums for subsidized people in that they may have more options in what they choose on the marketplace. the people, the 20% of people who are not subsidized on the marketplace and who also look for insurance off marketplace, they will see some lower premiums because of this reinsurance program.
Governor Walker says because of the Affordable Care Act, premiums for individuals have risen by 44%. Is that true?
So it is true that premiums for individual coverage have risen substantially. Now, the big debate is whether it's because of the Affordable Care Act or because of things that have occurred during the implementation of the Affordable Care Act that were not intended to happen. And so it's certainly true that there has been that degree of increase in the individual premiums. But there is some question about whether that is actually because of the Affordable Care Act. Certainly, Governor Walker and people who are critics of the Affordable Care Act believe that it is because of the structure of the Affordable Care Act that these premium increases occurred. Others will argue that there were steps taken by those in opposition to the Affordable Care Act that caused these premium increases. And I'm happy to detail what those steps were if you'd like me to.
Sure, go ahead.
So, for example, the Affordable Care Act itself had a reinsurance program in it, like similar in concept to what we're going to be implementing here in Wisconsin. And that reinsurance program expired at the time that we started seeing those substantial premium increases. And as well, there was what's called a risk adjustment program to help insurance companies handle differential risk that they're seeing between one insurance company and the other. And the federal government and the Congress decided, for various disputes they were having about the funding of this program, they didn't ultimately pay insurance companies what the insurance companies said they were due under this program, this risk adjustment program. So ultimately, the insurance companies only got paid about 12% of what they were due or what they claimed they were due under this program. And so around the time that this was happening, which was about the time that President Trump was taking office, that's when we started seeing these very substantial increases in rates. And as well, the decision by President Trump to stop paying the cost-sharing reductions for individuals who are eligible for those. Those are subsidies for people who qualify for reductions in their co-payments. That requires the insurance companies to still provide those cost-sharing reductions, but the federal government is not paying the insurance companies to provide them. So what happened is the insurance companies then built that cost into their premiums, and that resulted in another increase in the premiums overall. So those were some points of substantial increase in the premiums because of some policy decisions.
The trend of increasing premiums, true for group rates and for people who get group insurance through their employers as well?
We have not seen that degree of increase for group rates at employers. We've seen actually a slowdown overall since about 2008 or 2010 in the overall increase in premiums for large employers that may be due to some improvements in the way health care is being delivered and some changes in payments at the some efforts in Medicare and other changes in the way we're trying to reduce costs and change the way we're paying for health care overall.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're talking about Governor Walker's proposal to offer reinsurance in Wisconsin and help those who don't qualify for subsidies for their premiums under the ACA to pay for health insurance. It's a $200 million program. And we're talking about how that is going to play out in our state. Wondering what you think. 800-642-1234. Are you one of the people who will benefit from this? And obviously, I'm guessing you think that's a good thing, whether you do or not. Tell us your story at 800-642-1234. 642-1234. Governor Walker said that his program would provide an 11% reduction from where premiums would have been had he done nothing about it in 2018. The program would provide an outright reduction of at least 3.5% on average from where they'll be in January of 2019. Help us break that down. Can you give us a bare-bones translation of what the governor is saying here?
So in terms of the price of insurance, you're asking?
Yeah, because he's talking about an 11% reduction from where premiums would have been if he had done nothing, but the program will provide an outright reduction of at least 3.5% on average from where they will be in January of 2019. What does all that mean?
Right. So the 11%, I believe what they're referring to is over time, where the premiums would have gone over several years if nothing had been happening, but the 3% is what we'll see in the near term in 2019 with this program. That's what the expected decrease or change will be based on this intervention that's being introduced. So we'll know for sure in September, October, when we see the insurance premiums that the carriers deliver for the open enrollment period. But right now, that's what we're expecting to see.
Can you give us an idea of what the premiums are like on the individual market? I know there are different plans and different insurance companies have different pricing, but can you give us some sense of what people can expect to have to pay for an individual insurance plan under
right.
the ACA?
Absolutely. So, like I said, there's the price of the plan, and then there's what people pay after their federal subsidy. And when people purchase insurance through the ACA marketplace, they're assessed to see whether they're eligible for the federal subsidy. And the federal subsidy is pinned to their income. So people will pay no more than a certain percentage of their income if their income is somewhere between, and this gets kind of complicated, but if they make anywhere up to 4 times the federal poverty level. So for an individual, if they make anywhere up to about $48,000 to $50,000 a year, and for a family of four, if they make up to about $99,000 a year, they will qualify for some kind of a federal subsidy for their premium. And if they're at the low end of that, of the income scale, they'll pay no more than 2% of their income toward their premium, no matter what the actual premium is. The federal subsidy will take care of the rest. And if they're at the higher end of the income scale, toward the 400%, they'll pay up close to 9% of their income toward that federal subsidy. Toward the insurance premium, and then the federal subsidy will take care of the rest. So it will really depend on what their income is. If they're above that income level, then they'll be left to pay the entire premium on their own.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the premium, again, will depend on what kind of plan the consumer chooses. But in Wisconsin, an individual can expect to pay around around $700 to $800 for an average monthly premium before subsidy. But after subsidy, an individual can have a premium of about $150 a month on average. And there are plans available that people can select for less than $100 a month. And then people could select plans for over $200 a month after subsidy. It's really what they choose in terms of the kind of plan they want. But you can hear from those numbers that the federal subsidy really makes a substantial difference in the affordability of that coverage, and that's for the 80% of the people that qualify for the federal subsidy. The reinsurance program is really getting at the 20% of the people who do not currently have insurance and who on the marketplace who are purchasing fully subsidized, and those other people who are not participating in the marketplace and who are facing that full premium that is that high, the $700 to $800 a month premium, or possibly even higher. And that's where the reinsurance program could really make a difference.
Help me out with the math here, because that was never my strong suit. 3.5% of $200 is what, about $7? If I'm paying $200 a month and I'm going to save 3.5%, how much money am I saving?
You know, that's correct, but you are applying that to the subsidized coverage. And like I said, this is really not a program that's going to substantially make a big difference for the group of people that are already subsidized. This is really for the people that have not had the benefit of the subsidized coverage.
So 3.5% of $800 is a much bigger number.
Yes, exactly.
This is
really for the people who have not had the benefit of the subsidy, either the people that are currently purchasing the coverage with that full premium, or people who, frankly, have remained outside of the market because they just don't find the coverage affordable.
Well, WPR did not hire me for my math skills. I can.
It could bring down insurance rates overall, so even the people that are subsidized could see more options, in that they would be not, they could get more for that $159 if the overall insurance premiums come down.
And the market becomes more attractive for insurance carriers because there's less risk for them.
Right, exactly. So overall, it's a very good thing for everybody.
Well, insurance is a form of legalized gambling, and so in this case, the insurance company is playing with house money, if I can use that metaphor here, in this case, because they're insulated against some of the risk.
Yes, to some degree, but I guess I want to make sure that everyone, your listeners, understand that reinsurance is a very common thing in all forms of insurance, and so it's not, this is not necessarily this one-off strange thing that we're seeing the government do. It's really a very common thing for insurance to have a reinsurance program. And so, yeah.
And it was a part of the ACA originally.
It originally was a part of the ACA, yes.
Okay. We're talking about Governor Walker's plan to lower Affordable Care Act insurance premiums for Wisconsinites with Donna Friedsam, researcher and health policy director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Population Health Institute. What do you think of this plan? Are you somebody who would be directly impacted by it? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're going to take a quick break for some news, and we'll be back with more of our conversation in just a moment. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Donna Friedsam is a researcher and health policy director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Population Health Institute. She's with us this morning to talk about Governor Walker's $200 million plan to reduce health insurance premium for qualifying individuals under the Affordable Care Act. Wondering what you think about it, 800-642-1234. If the lines are full, send us an email, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's take a call from Rick in Madison to start this segment. Rick, good morning. Thanks for being on The Morning Show. Rick, are you there? Did we lose Rick? I think we lost Rick. Okay, well, I'll ask Rick's question for him. Rick wants to know where the money's coming from, where this $200 million is coming from for this program, and why we're giving taxpayer money to insurance companies.
That's the question about where it's coming from is a great question. I was anticipating that right when you said $200 million program. And most of it is coming from the federal government and actually from the Affordable Care Act. So it turns out that the Affordable Care Act is being used in the state to reduce insurance premiums for people to purchase individual coverage. More than three quarters of the funding is going to be anticipated to be supported by the federal government through Affordable Care Act funding, and the remainder would be supported by state funding. And why are we using taxpayer dollars to reduce insurance premiums. I think the concept there is that we all benefit by having access to health insurance, and we're going to pay one way or the other. If people can't get covered, they're going to incur health care costs in our system as uncompensated, and then we're going to be paying through higher premiums that when those uncompensated costs get built into our health care costs and then passed on to our to us in our insurance premiums covering those uncompensated costs. So I think that's the investment we're making as state taxpayers. But again, most of the funds are coming from the federal government.
Well, some people might find that a bit ironic, since the governor opposed taking federal money for a Medicaid expansion and has been in favor of actually getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, period. How do you and your colleagues make sense of that?
Well, I think the governor is making a pragmatic decision about trying to improve the insurance market in our state, recognizing that we do have a need, and realizing that there is this opportunity and it needs to be addressed. So I think most people believe that the reinsurance program is an important step forward, and see that as a good decision by the governor to take this opportunity. A lot of critics of the governor have pointed out exactly what you're saying, that the Medicaid expansion, it was another opportunity that he decided to forego. I think that's a different political conversation, and he made that decision for other reasons. And, you know, people make their policy decisions, you know, one by one, and this is a different policy decision that the governor made.
It's been a core feature of Republican Party politics since the Affordable Care Act became law to oppose it in every way that they can, including Governor Walker. He's fiercely criticized the ACA, and in fact, his attorney general is part of a lawsuit to get rid of it. What do people in the governor's own party think of this plan? What's their reaction been? Because this seems to be more pragmatic than ideological.
Yeah, you know, I think, I mean, he did get support for instituting the reinsurance program in general, although there were some people that were concerned about this step. I think, in general, it was seen as a pragmatic step to address the concerns about the insurance market. And you see now the conversation in the political arena, people saying this is a step to fix the Affordable Care Act. You know, I'm not really in the business of talking about the political spin back and forth, but certainly people are going to spin it one way or the other. And the people who don't want to think about this as being an embrace of the Affordable Care Act will see it as something else. And people who do want to see it as an embrace of the Affordable Care Act will see it as just that. And we'll let that conversation happen.
Okay.
And meanwhile, what we know is that this is the funding mechanism, and a reinsurance program is being put into place.
And that's a very polite way of telling me that we need to do that on a different show. thank you. Noted. I'll make that pitch. Let's take a phone call here. Mary is with us in Oxford, Wisconsin. Mary, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, what's your question, please?
My question is, I was wondering if the pre-existing condition clause will be included in the reinsurance programs.
So that's a great question. Most people really are very concerned about maintaining coverage for pre-existing conditions without discrimination, and the reinsurance program is going to, yes, the pre-existing conditions clause remains. And it will, in fact, allow insurance companies to continue to cover pre-existing conditions without helping to maintain the premiums with a little bit more affordability than we've seen. Now recognizing that, as the host pointed out, it's not, you know, 3.5% isn't a huge amount of affordability, but it is helping. But, yes, the pre-existing clause will remain.
Okay, Mary, thanks for that excellent question. 800-642-1234. Donna, do you know, are other states doing similar things with reinsurance programs? And if so, how have they worked out?
So four other states have thus far been approved for a reinsurance program. And then just yesterday, the state of Maine was approved by the federal government for a reinsurance program. This is proving to be a very embraceable model, bipartisan interest. It's someone wrote about this as being the unicorn of health policy, and that it's the rare thing that both parties can get behind related to the ACA. And we have seen in the states where it's been put into place, including, for example, Minnesota, a strong impact and a good impact on the affordability of premiums. Remembering that this is only one piece of the puzzle. There have been other things going on in the background that precipitate against the affordability of health coverage. And so this isn't a silver bullet, and I want to make sure people understand that this is happening, and this may help and will help to some degree. There are other things that are happening in the background that could erode affordability of coverage. There are policy decisions being made that could hurt the affordability of coverage, and so we have yet to see how much this particular step can have a positive impact when other things are going on that could potentially make coverage less affordable overall in the individual market, and we'll see. But the reinsurance program has shown itself to be a strong mechanism that is working well.
Let's take another call. Ken is with us in Door County. Ken, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show. What's your question?
More of a comment. I am in Door County. Maybe it's because of limited providers, but the figures of $700 to $800 for isn't reality for us. For a mediocre high deductible, it's $3,500 plus a month, so we just can't do it. So I just don't know where that $700 to $800 comes. And I use a professional too to search the, Affordable Care Act. So maybe it's just where I live that there's not providers, but that $700 to $800 is not a realistic figure here.
Were you looking at individual or family coverage?
Family coverage, family of four, self-employed.
Right. No, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. You're pointing out an important distinction. I was talking about for an individual. But you're correct. For a family, it would certainly be much more. I should have been clear that would be for an individual.
So if you have a family of four and you don't have any group or coverage through your employer, and you don't qualify for the federal subsidy, you could be paying a huge amount of money for
Absolutely.
Insurance premiums. 3.5% of $3,500 is a little more money, but still, that's an awful lot of money. And so
3.5% of $3,500 is quite a bit, but it's still $3,500 a month is way more expensive than most people can manage. And so the caller is absolutely right, and I should have been clear about that. The figures I was quoting was for individual coverage. So he's absolutely right.
Okay, so we still have a big problem here. Are there winners and losers in this policy, and do you foresee any unintended consequences?
Honestly, the reinsurance program is really a win-win for people in terms of helping to in some marginal way to reduce insurance premiums, and so I don't see losers in this except, certainly there are people that the earlier caller said, why are we using state money to support reducing insurance premiums and give money to insurance companies? So there's always some people who don't believe in the use of public money for this purpose. And so it could be argued that that's a loss under that philosophy. But in general, this is something, like I said, the unicorn of health policy. It's something that has bipartisan support and seems to be a good approach right now to handling a problem, not a silver bullet, however. There are a number of other things going on. Some of them potentially helpful and some of them that could potentially erode the affordability further, and we have yet to see what the net result is going to be. But the most recent caller is absolutely right that we still have a huge problem with affordability, and this is not going to solve it for many people.
Donna Friedsam, thank you so much for being with us this morning and explaining this really complex issue. Really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Donna Friedsam is a researcher and health policy director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Population Health Institute. Her areas of expertise include state health policy and health reform and the implementation of the federal health care reform. We appreciate her being here this morning. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.